Paul is also a pastor, so there are two Pastor Pauls in the house today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right. Thank you.
Welcome, Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Pastor Paul.
Pastor Paul is from Indonesia. He's newly arrived. He's friends with Tati and Bernhard. That's how I've got to know him.
Yeah.
And God has been really using him very mightily in Indonesia, preaching the gospel and seeing people's lives change. But I'm not going to say too much. You're going to talk to us for some minutes to tell us what God has been doing in Indonesia and what God's laid on your heart for us today.
I think we will.
You need a microphone, don't you?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. This is amazing days in Indonesia. In the tribulation, we have harvesting, a big harvesting. You see, Indonesia, in the open door statistic, there are 12% of Christian at there. But actually, there are 30% of Christianity in Indonesia. Because some of church have the people there in the church, the member of the church, the ID card, there is a religion statistic, religion column, and still in Islam, although they are in the church. So when the people come to the church, the ID card is still Muslim. You know what I mean? They because when we have to change our ID card from Islam to Christian, that's very difficult. Many procedure, many administrative, and it's very difficult. Then somebody come to Jesus, we baptize them, and the ID card still Muslim, still Islam. Then actually they are 30%. Even in the tribulation, we will see the film. This is one of my favorite video, and I cannot broadcast in YouTube or Facebook without permit of that guy. Please.
Itu, saya disuruh minta untuk bersahadat memang, tapi saya tolak. Tetapi yang lainnya, karena pada waktu itu saya dikepung, itu bukan sedikit. Yang di depan rumah itu kalau 100 orang sudah lebih, yang di ruangan tamu itu sekitar hampir 60 yang mengelitari saya dan setiap mendikte saya. Dan posisi anak saya yang paling ragil ini bersama kakaknya, itu dibawa oleh orang FPI sampai 3 hari dengan tekanan kalau tidak menuruti atau menandatangani surat dari MUI, tidak akan dipulangkan anak saya ini.
Jadi anak di sandera.
Ya. Salah satunya yang saya bawa ini, yang ragil ini, gitu.
Ya, puji Tuhan. Saya, hambanya yang terkasih, saya Ali Mahrus Atamimi. Apapun yang menjadi berita di luar sana, itu hak seseorang berpandangan dan berpendapat. Tapi perlu diketahui, mulai tahun 2004 hingga sampai tahun 2017, saya Ali Mahrus bersama istri sama 5 anak saya tidak pernah meninggalkan Tuhan Yesus dan tetap hidup di dalam Tuhan Yesus. Dan hanya Tuhan yang Maha tahu. Saya tidak mengadakan pembenaran diri dalam masalah ini, tapi saya ingin menyatakan sikap saya bahwa sampai detik hari ini, insya Allah sampai husnul khatimah, saya tetap melayani Yesus. Ya, saya bukan di luar Yesus, saya murid Yesus, tetap jihad fil sabilillah di dalam jalan Tuhan Yesus. Saya anaknya, saya hambanya, saya sahabatnya, siap berjihad. Mati pun saya juga sudah siap, karena anak-anak saya sudah besar. Saya tetap akan berjalan dalam jalan Tuhan. Biarlah ucapan saya ini bukan saja sekedar disaksikan para hamba-hambanya di sini, tapi akan saya pertanggungjawabkan di fid dunya wal akhirat. Akan saya pertanggungjawabkan sampai akhir hayat saya. Terima kasih, Tuhan Yesus memberkati.
Okay, that guy named Ali Mahrus Atamimi. He's the chieftain of the jihad in Indonesia, the Islamic jihad. Then in 2006, He repent, see Jesus when he salat, pray in Islamic prayer, and he saw Jesus and he repent. Then in 2011, the radical Muslim come to his home and surround his home. And as you heard that they hostage his children. Then the church think he already left Christian and become Islam again. But when I come to his home, I meet him, and he cry, and he tried to convince me, no, I never left Jesus. Even they surround me and never spell the Shahadat. I'm still Christian. I'm still believe in Jesus Christ is Lord and my Savior. Then I baptize him again and make a documentation, because I have to convince the church that left him alone when that percussion happened. Then I give the elder of the church in Indonesia to convince the church that he is still Christian and still a pastor. This is one pastor in the charismatic church. Okay, my first slide. My name is Pastor Paul Chang. Yeah, my surname, next slide. This is my surname, very long. But much better, you call me just Pastor Paul Chang. Next slide. Okay, simple, okay? Very difficult to speak in English that time, and also in Germany. Very difficult. Better you call me Paul Chang. Very simple, okay? Next slide. Yeah, this is my family. I become a pastor since 1999. Then in 2010, I left Jesus because of some disappointed, my arrogancy, because of the my pride. Then I left Jesus. 2013, in the worst moment that I want to left Jesus forever and ever, the Holy Spirit come to my room and I see Jesus. Then everything changed. Everything totally changed. My revenge, my anger, my disappointed, my bitterness, gone, passed away. And the peace of God filled me. 2013. Then I almost divorced with my wife. And today, we are like honeymoon every day. Very patient, full of love, you see. We are already 19 years in marriage. And I know her 7 years before. So already 26 years I know her. And every day like honeymoon. Honeymoon every day, you see? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And that's not my elder son, 18 years old. He playing violin, and my daughter, a dancer, and also a prophet. He can sometimes see prophet something, and we just surprised, because what she thought is in the word of God, and sometimes he dance, sometimes he sing, she sing, then we know that this is from God, and we heard, okay, God taught us through her. And we thank God for 2013, I met Jesus, and my family completely restored. Hallelujah. Amen. And also you. Next. This is my first ignition to become a pastor in 1999. This is me. Number two, yeah? That's me. Okay, next. Okay, I wrote two books. The left one is about apologetic, answering the Christian faith. And the right one is about the Islamology, historical of Islam. What is Islam? Where they are coming from? Because we have a wrong perspective about Islam. Islam is not about divinity. Islam is ideology, politics, and power. You have to know about that. And in the April, 7th April, I make a seminar in Jugendorf. Jugendorf is Stein Kimmen, Gandarkese. We have a base camp there, and I make a seminar about the Islamology, about this topic. Okay, next. I also make a many seminars about Islamology and apologetic. I already have four DVDs, yeah. And because of the DVDs, the radical Muslim try to catch me and try to persecute me. And some of my friends already put in jail or killed by them. Then we have networking in Indonesia, and my friends in other city taught me, hey, somebody want to kill you, and I don't care. I have met Jesus. This is my second chance. I don't care they kill me. But they say that, no, don't make them easy to catch you. Because you are important. Better you go and still preaching the gospel. And if God permit you today, let it be day. But not today. And okay, I prayed, and God said to me, go to Europe. And I prepared the visa in rush. And all the tickets, I have no money. When I saw Jesus, I saw everything, and I give for ministry. So I have nothing, even my no bed, no refrigerator, no rice cooker, empty, because I sell them and for ministry. And my wife, my children agree with me, because God already restored me. Then God led us in living in the faith, living only by faith. Every time when my children ask something to buy, I thought to them, you ask to your Father in heaven, Jehovah Jireh. He will provide you. Then the daughter, when sometimes she come to me, Papa, I want eat a fried chicken. Papa, do not have money. You have to ask to our Father in heaven. And my daughter, 6 years old at that time, shout, Jehovah Jireh, God provide, fried chicken come. And in the night, fried chicken really come. Somebody knock my door and give, this is for you, from somebody. Somebody send me fried chicken, and I say, oh, I see. God answered her prayer. And the next month, suddenly I want to eat a goat grill, like a lamb grill, yeah? In Indonesia, goat grill. I taught her, I manipulate her. Hey, pray for me. I want God grill. No, Papa, I want fried chicken. Okay, whatever. And what she pray? Jehovah Jireh, send the God grill, sate kambing, for Papa and the fried chicken for me. And in the night, somebody knock and send both of them. That's crazy. That's insane. Every day living with miracle. Every day. We have never had much money. But we are never worried about tomorrow, because we are financial freedom. What we need, God always give, because our God is Jehovah Jireh. He provided. Amen? And He restored me. He makes everything new. The new revelation, new words, new rhema. Next. You see, I come to the Muslim, the Ustad. They are Ustad. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They are all Ustad. I come to them, and I preaching the gospel to them. And they are so surprised. How dare you come here? We are looking for you. We want to catch you. Adam. I'm real. I'm not a ghost. I come to you, and I thought you repent, because you already bluffing by the devil. I thought, repent. And some of them already stopped. Next. I already go to another country, the Hong Kong, to Thailand, and to preaching the gospel. This is the Irish. Very difficult to preach the gospel to European people, to the West. Yeah, next. And some church are afraid when I baptize in the church, in the building, because the radical Muslim will come to the church and burn their church. And The deacons taught me, Pastor Paul, please do not ever baptize in the building again. Go to somewhere, to the pool or whatever, wherever you want, but not in the building of the church, because we do not want any problem with the radical Muslim. And I said, okay, I go to the sea, and I baptize them in the sea, in the pool, in the river. They are, you know, with the jilbab, the middle ones, the black one. They are all from the Muslim. That are the left one is Saifuddin Ibrahim. He was an ustad, an imam in Muslim, and repent and become Christian. And now he is a pastor, and he is in jail because of he is preaching the gospel. They are all in my discipleship. We have community, all Muslim. Ex-Muslim, they call it Murtadin, Murtad, go out from Muslim. Before, up, no. In the closet, it's me. I'm Christian since I was born. And they are from Muslim. We are maybe about 30. In 2 years, I baptized about 30 or 40. Every month, we baptize them. I baptize them. Next. One of them, some of them, inboxed me in my messenger, Facebook. I preaching in Facebook also. You know, Facebook is very effective for preaching the gospel. And when they saw my wall status, and they touch, and they inbox me, and say that, pastors, we want to be baptized. Why? We met Jesus, and I see your Facebook, and I'm encouraged because of your status in the Facebook. And they, before, they contact me like this one, and okay, I met them, and I baptized them from Aceh, from the North Indonesia, from the South, from the West, from the East. They come. And we make a deal, and after we baptize, also we have a community, and we make a discipleship. And the next, because of I preaching in the Facebook, there's the cyber Muslim. They are all the cyber Muslim try to take over my account, Facebook. Hundreds of them, they try to hack my account. But I try to make whatever. I have to Facebook, my old Facebook, I close it because it's too dangerous. My senior pastor in Indonesia asked me to close, and yeah, I have to obey. Then next, yeah, this is some of them that try to threat me and blaspheme me, but I don't care. Whatever the gospel already preached. Next. Yeah, this Ali Makrus. That we saw the movie just now. That's Ali Makrus. We baptized in the night. We baptized him, and now he is in the hiding place. We try to convince him, okay, it's okay. If you want to go to Europa, Tati and her friend will provide everything for you. And yeah, we hope so. Because this is Saifuddin Ibrahim, the ex-Ustad. This is me. We are friends together. We are in the networking. We are in networking in Indonesia. We're preaching gospel in the street, in the Facebook, in anywhere. And now he is in jail. This guy is ex-Christian called Mualaf. Christian, evangelist. He was an evangelist and left Jesus because of bitterness and disappointed with the church. And he left Christian and report the Saifuddin to police. And Saifuddin trapped, catch, and put in jail. Now he is in the court, still awaiting the sentence. And they said that 6 years sentence in jail because of preaching the gospel. You see that Islam never growth by conversion, but they are breeding. No conversion. They grow not by conversion, but by breeding. One man married to 4 women. And every woman has 5 children. So one man has 20 children. Next. And the European people, one man living together with one woman, sometimes one man or woman and woman. See? No single child. When the woman pregnant, the man said, oh my God, you pregnant. So the growth of population in Europe averages 1.5 per couple. The Muslim, next. Comparison growth, Islam versus the European people in this land. 20 compared to 1.5. And Islam and Christian, we do not know. Because they left the Christianity. Next. The solution, yeah. Why? Why the asylum come to this country? Why they are Muslim? Why they never go to the Arab Saudi or the Yemen or go to Qatar? Because you have the secret that they want to know. You are prosper. You are very blessing here. And they are not. You are live in peace and they living in war. So they come here to looking for the secret of this land. You see, the secret of the land is this land built by Jesus Christ's name. The ancestors believe in Jesus and establish the foundation in the name of Jesus Christ. And the young men left the foundation. When they come to this land, they looking for the secret and they find nothing. Because the young man already left Jesus. You see? The European had abandoned the gospel. This is very problem. Next. Actually, God had sent them to this country, to this land. Why? We have to harvesting them. We have to harvest them. If you come to Iraq, you come to Syria, you come to Arab Saudi, you come to Qatar, Yemen, and preaching the gospel in the street, somebody will kill you. See? But they come here, and you preaching the gospel, you preaching the Jesus, you preach about the crucified of Christ, and He is Savior. Nobody want to kill you here. This is free country. This is a free land. We can speak about Jesus. And I'm in Schlossplatz in Stuttgart. I'm preaching. Next. This with the Evata, Pastor Paul's friend. I'd like to be there. In Indonesia, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. Somebody kill me. Really kill me. And they are put in jail. Or they think that, okay, no problem. Next. Okay. Next. We have. This is me, 25 years ago, 50 kilograms now. Then, 100 kilograms then. Next. Okay. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He hear us. When we preaching the gospel, whatever you need, Jesus Christ, Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Paul. So we will pray for you a bit later in the service. Can you just tell us three things to pray or four things to pray? What main things? What should we pray for Indonesia and for what you've said?
Yeah, of course, Indonesia still harvesting.
Harvest in Indonesia?
Okay. I think we need pray to our permit stay. My permit stay is already.
Your permission
cleared,
to stay?
Yeah, yep. But I'm still waiting the letter and my family to come here.
Confirmation to stay, family to come, okay?
Yeah, and the address is for the ministry, and I can make a networking with others.
Your ministry in Europe.
To define connection. I need to define connection.
The Lord has given our brother an anointing to preach the gospel to Muslims. And Muslims have come to Europe, so he's come to Europe as well.
Hallelujah.
On this mission.
Yeah.
So we pray for this. Good. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I just invite you to stand for a moment, just to stretch your legs. We've heard about the power of prayer, answer to prayer. Take a minute to turn to somebody and tell them what prayer has got answered for you in the last, I don't know, the last week, the last month. Tell somebody about an answered prayer. You just have 1 minute to do it. So I suppose you can do it 1 minute one way and 1 minute. You've got 2 minutes. 1 minute one way, 1 minute the other. What answers of prayer have you had? Let's celebrate that. Okay, you have 15 seconds. Cool, thank you. So we turn to the scripture reading. We come today to the last of, we've had a mini-series from Acts chapter 2, really even only from one verse actually, from verse 42, the four pillar activities of a healthy missional church that the early church, I think we need some more volume perhaps, do we? More volume please, thank you, Eddie. The early church, they continued steadfastly. They were devoted to four particular activities. We saw that the first one was they were devoted to what Jesus said, the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the fellowship, knowing and being known. They were devoted to the breaking of bread, knowing, having Jesus, keeping Jesus as our food. And this week they were devoted to the prayers. Let me read it to you again. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is just after Pentecost, the beginning of the Christian church that we are part of, that's still growing until the end of time. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And then if we go to chapter 4, verse 23, we have an example of this. Just very shortly afterwards, Peter and John had been arrested, taken before the council, because, a bit like what's going on in Indonesia, because they were preaching Jesus. They were being persecuted, they were being interrogated. They were released. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Their prayers were answered. I would love to have time to hear all the testimonies that you were sharing with each other about those answers to your prayers. I find it particularly exciting when it's answers to prayers that we have prayed with somebody else together. Paul also put on his Facebook a very interesting video about the church in China, and it's a bit like the church in India, where I've also been, where even though the church is being persecuted very heavily, it's also growing rapidly. People are being healed in powerful ways. Many people are being delivered from evil spirits. There are many multiple converts to discipleship. Churches are being planted left, right, and center. Poor people with no prospects at all, no money, nothing, finding the joy of getting to know Jesus Christ and their sins forgiven. And we see in that context, in India and in China, churches, Christians gathering together to pray. There was one church in that story. The Christians come together to pray every day. And every day they pray together for 2 hours, every day of the week. They have to often have to meet in remote places like caves where it's hidden because of the dangers, or they have to come very early in the morning so that they're not seen. But they pray and God answers. They come to the name of Jesus and their prayers are heard. There seems to be a direct connection between a church's spiritual health, in other words, its connectivity with God, the strength of its relationships in the family that it is, and its missional effectiveness, making disciples of the nations, of the lost. There's a connection between that and the vibrancy of that church's prayer life. Obviously, that includes our personal prayer life. As the Lord says, when you pray, go into your room and close the door. You have that relationship with God. It's between you and Him. But at the same time, a Spirit-filled church also prays together. And I'm saying this because this verse, Acts 2:42, when it says they devoted themselves to the prayers, the Greek way that's written suggests this is particularly praying with other people. That's what is being talked about here. And both disciplined patterns of prayers, a bit like we have a prayer meeting every week, either 3 weeks on a Wednesday and the last one in the month on a Saturday. The men in our church, some of the men, there is actually a men's prayer meeting every Friday, and those who can come to that. It's a regular pattern. But as well as that, like we saw in the story from Acts 4, they prayed together any time where they needed to, spontaneously. So Peter and John went back to the people, reported what had happened, and when they heard about this persecution, what did they do? The first thing, they don't spend ages talking about what are we going to do. Well, the first thing these people did, Sovereign Lord, they called to God together in prayer. Prayer was priority. It was the first thing they did. Prayer, they took prayer and praying together seriously. Prayer, life on life, has a central place in the life of a healthy church. So I'd like to ask you, who are you praying with together in our church family? That's for you to think about. Who are you praying with? And a few simple points today. Firstly, the power of prayer, life on life, praying together with others. The joy of prayer, life on life. And the place of fasting prayer, life on life. First of all, the power of prayer, life on life. We've already been hearing about this in these stories. How are we doing as a church family using this God-given tool of praying together? Meeting together, as we said with the children, meeting together with the most powerful king. Doing our part in his mission. He calls us to join him in his mission. And the key part of our work is to pray to him. We might not understand that, but that's what he tells us to do. And when we do it, it works. Praying for his will to be done. Praying for his kingdom to advance. I don't know about you, but I find it's often when I pray with somebody else that I find I can really connect with that person. Because the central focus is not me or them, it's him. When we pray with people on the streets in Bremen, when we're doing the Turning and other mission, and we are sharing the gospel with them, and we say, would you like us to pray with you? I think it's, if it's not every time, it's almost every time we see the impact of that prayer. The person may not become a Christian at that point, but you can see there's something going on. Because prayer is powerful. Actually, if you think about it, when you read the New Testament, the basic activity of the body of Christ, the spiritual activity, is prayer. Like we read from the beginning of the service, God prophesied, or God spoke through the prophet. When I gather these people from all the different nations together, they will be a house of prayer. It will be a house of prayer. Talking to God. Talking to him together. Listening to him together. And as we do it, God using it to draw one another to himself, to draw others from beyond to himself. Acts 4:23, we read, when they heard of the urgent need, they cried out, give us boldness to declare your truth, sovereign Lord. And verse 31, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Prayer is powerful when its focus is God. It's not about us. It's looking up and out of ourselves. Because prayer, especially praying together, is a key in our hands. Prayer together is the link between the Lord God on his throne, exalted and reigning, and his body here on the earth, where his ministry is to continue healing us, loving us, reaching out through us, freeing us to know him. Prayer, God uses it to guide us, his children, to strengthen us, especially in the mission of the gospel and building his church. You may have heard of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, famous Baptist preacher in 19th century London, whose college I studied at. Not in the 19th century, I hasten to add, but thousands of people were converted under his preaching. And one day, a guest visited him at the tabernacle where the building where his church still is there. And Spurgeon said, would you like to see the power room? I want to show you the power room. And the man thought he was going to show him the heating system. And he thought, well, I'm not really interested in the central heating, but if you want to show me, I'll see. So Spurgeon took him into a large room underneath. It's a bit like this building. They had a very large Saal, very large room where the worship took place with two big balconies, 5,000, 6,000 people in there on Sunday. And underneath, like we have rooms underneath here, other rooms. And the power room was underneath. And when they went into it, there was no heating facility. It was just tables and chairs. And Spurgeon said, this is where through the whole of the service, when I'm preaching, people are praying without failing, without stopping. I cannot preach unless the powerhouse is operating. I will not preach unless the believers are praying for me. Because nothing is going to really happen unless people are praying together. Interesting. It reminded me of Paul saying in Ephesians 6, the apostle, pray for me that my words may be given to me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to declare the mystery of the gospel, that I may declare it boldly as I ought. me and all preachers who ever preach to you, we need your prayers. Pray for us. Pray for us through the week. That it's, we can't do this without prayer. We pray for ourselves. We need you to pray for us. Because God wants to speak to you through us. But prayer is what's needed in all matters. The only things that will really change, the only ways we'll see real breakthrough, the only ways we'll see real kingdom answers is when we pray and praying together. And secondly, that's the power of praying together. Secondly, the joy of prayer life on life. What is the most exciting thing in your life? You can think about that for a moment. Is there anything more thrilling? And you may have many exciting things to enjoy. But is there anything more thrilling than knowing God Almighty, whose love is perfect for you? And being on his team to save the world? There's joy in praying together too. That's a biblical principle. And I think this joy has two facets. The encouragement of seeing God answer and the delight of communion with the Lord. Think of a time when someone told you of a good change in their life and you thought, oh, that's right, I prayed for that sister, that brother. How do you feel? What happened to you when you heard that report? A smile come to your face, perhaps? What a wonder that God answered my prayer for this person in their need. What a fulfillment of having been used in the process. Jesus once promised, John 16, ask in prayer and you will receive that your joy may be complete. And I don't think it's the joy of seeing answers to our prayers. It's more actually the joy of love. I like the way that Arun has put these hearts. I didn't ask him to do that, but I think that's part of the message the Holy Spirit has. Focused on the hearts there in these people. John 15, the Lord exhorts us, remain in me, abide in my love. Relationship with him is what we're all about, isn't it? In the same chapter, abide in my love that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If we're remaining in him and having relationship with him, prayer is a key part of that. Talking to Jesus, in whom we remain, life on life. It restores our perspective. It takes our minds off of ourselves and our struggles because our minds are put onto him again. It reminds us of his perfect love. The perfect love of his forgiveness and his acceptance for myself and the other person I'm praying with. It crosses barriers of hurt and suspicion and prejudice and mistrust. We believers in Jesus Christ, we're family, you know? Do you know that's true? We are family in this house. My family, my blood family, all live in the UK. But I have family here. Thank God for that. I need this family. We all need each other. I need you, my brothers and sisters. You are my brothers and sisters. You may not like that, but you are. And I'm your brother and sister to bless you. It's not because we chose to be each other's brother. You can't choose your brothers, can you, your sisters, the ones who were born to your mum and dad. And it's the same with us. We don't choose to be here. We're here because God put us here. We're brothers and sisters because we have the same dad. We have the same Savior. We have the same Comforter. And when we're all truly focused on him and not ourselves, the reality of genuine family, the joy of eternal family, can be restored. The joyful delight of communion with the Lord, praying life on life, one with the other. And the third thing to say is the place of fasting prayer as well. We sometimes, I think I also myself, neglect this. Because actually, in the scripture, prayer is often connected with this other aspect of it called fasting. And Lent is a traditional time to fast. And so in the newsletter that you have received, if you haven't received our newsletter, it means we don't have your email address. So please give it to us. We'd love you to receive it if you would like to receive our news. I would like to invite you to join us, if you're part of IBC Bremen, to fast between now and Easter, the rest of Lent. We've got 4 weeks before Easter, and because Wednesday is our prayer meeting night, I'm going to fast on Wednesday. And if you'd like to, I'd like to invite you to do the same. You might rather fast a different day, if that's better for you, that's fine. The New Testament doesn't tell us we must fast. It doesn't tell us when we should fast. But Jesus assumes we will, because he says when you fast. In other words, when you get around to doing it, when you decide to do it. What is fasting? Fasting is normally and most powerfully, I think, abstaining from food. But of course, some people medically, they can't do that. You have to have your meals regularly if you're a diabetic or something. But maybe you can leave something else out, like alcohol or chocolate or computer games or TV shows, I don't know. Ask God, what do you want? What is he calling you to give up, to sacrifice, to focus? Because fasting helps us to connect to the power and the joy of prayer. It helps us to connect to the power of prayer. In my previous church in London, where I was pastor, the church before I had been there had had a misunderstanding with a businessman. And by the time I came as pastor, the businessman came to us one day and threatened to take us to the court, demanding that we had to pay £250,000, which at that time was about 300,000 euros. And in some ways, he seemed to have a very powerful case. But this church had no money at all. In another way, it seemed very unjust. It was a very scary time. Fortunately, we had a good lawyer who was provided for us. And we had several meetings with this lawyer. And every time we had a meeting with the lawyer, we said to the church, please would you fast today? And those people who were able to did. We fasted and we prayed. And every time we had a meeting in the evening, we just saw the doors opening for a solution. We came to be advised that the demands that this businessman were making were unjust, but there was some justice. So there was a certain amount of money that should be paid, which was still way beyond what we could pay. And then somebody else came along and said, I will pay. The answers came remarkably, beyond our means, totally beyond our ability. It was a wow moment for us. And fasting was a big part of how we found our way. Verse 42 that we read, when they committed themselves to this prayers, the Greek word is proskoukai, which literally means an earnest seeking. A bit like your daughter earnestly desiring the fried chicken. She got it, didn't she? She was earnest about it. This praying that they were doing was earnest. Lord, we need this boldness to be able to keep pressing through with the gospel because we're being persecuted. We need your help. And we're believing in it. So fasting is useful, like in the story I told you, when we need an intense focus on something for a particular need. We see this in the scripture too. For example, Nehemiah, when he heard of the destruction of Jerusalem, he continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven, chapter 1, verse 4. Or in Esther, another example, in 4:3, the Jews had just heard of the decree of Ahasuerus that they would all be killed, and it says there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing. And of course, the Lord came and saved them. The need of IBC Bremen, it's not about IBC Bremen, it's about the kingdom of God advancing. It's about the gospel reaching the international people of this city. It's about being a healthy church where our children have teachers. We need 5 more teachers downstairs on a rota that we can always have. We need people to be ready to, these kids that we see before us, in a year or two's time, they're going to be teenagers. We have an urgent need to prepare ourselves to have a teenage ministry in IBC Bremen. This is serious. We need to come before him. Lord, we need this. Intense focus. Fasting can also be very helpful in repentance. Joel 2, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Is there an area of our lives that we're battling to submit to the headship of Christ? Or is there anyone that we need to forgive or be reconciled to Fasting can be very helpful. And fasting can simply help us to earnestly seek the Lord in worship. Anna, in the story of baby Jesus in Luke chapter 2, the old lady prophetess at the temple, she's described as, she never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, seeking the Lord. It's what we see in the New Testament too. Fasting is routine for the church when it's looking for God's answers. What is God's will in a particular matter? What is his guidance to be? Acts 13, the church in Antioch. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, it was a normal thing in their worship life. The Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And in the same chapter, we also see, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on Barnabas and Saul. So it also seems that fasting is helpful for when we're particularly asking for the important question, who should be our leaders? Who should have these important responsibilities among us? That's then, fasting helps to connect us to the power of prayer, and it also helps to deepen our joy in relationship to God. That may seem a contradiction, because when your tummy is rumbling and you've got hunger pangs, that may seem to decrease your joy physically, but it can increase our joy spiritually. The last time I fasted, not that long ago, I was surprised by a breakthrough I saw at the end of the day. I wasn't expecting at all. Something happened that really blessed me, and I went to bed very joyful that night. And it happened that I fasted that morning and afternoon. Not the whole 24 hours, but two-thirds of the day. Because I felt in the morning the Holy Spirit saying, do this. Fasting increases our sense of humility. It reminds us that actually we are weak. We have nothing. We are not as strong as we think we sometimes think we are. We desperately need the Lord. It helps us realize we cannot meet life's needs and demands in our own strength. And we don't need to, because he does. He's faithful. Like the early church, they were able to meet the problems of life because they had turned first to God. I sometimes have prayer meetings. I get frustrated sometimes. I'm invited to a prayer meeting for an hour, and we talk for 50 minutes, and we pray for 10 minutes. No, it's a prayer meeting. It's not a chat meeting. Let's get to the prayer, where the power is. And the joy is. Fasting allows us to give them that attention to prayer. We haven't got to go shopping and cooking and eating. We can give that time and attention to him. And when that pain is coming in my tummy, I think, oh yeah, God, but you satisfy my need. And I trust in you. It helps. And the spiritual joy deepens. One author I was reading, and I think I agree with this, he was pointing out that fasting can be a very helpful exercise in growing in discipline. Because when you're really wanting to eat that thing that is looking at you and you'll say no, and then you're not going to the fridge, but even though you really want to go into that fridge, it can help you to be strong and abstain from something that you might otherwise be tempted to yield to. If we can train ourselves to stop giving in to the small temptations, it will make us stronger for bigger temptations, which may be much more serious, much more important to deal with. The point is, fasting also tells God we're earnest about prayer. We're serious. We really mean it. And we trust him. So, if we just go to the next slide, I think. Yeah, the power of prayer, talking to Jesus, life on life, the power of prayer, the joy of prayer, seeing God answer, communion with God, the place of fasting prayer, help us to connect to the power of prayer. In the newsletter, there's a whole list of suggestions that we can pray for as we fast. There are many other things we could do as well. But I invite you to join us this month, as we prepare to celebrate our Lord's death and resurrection for us, as we also fast and pray.